What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three, and we're being a little bit delayed connecting with Greg Felton. So while we work out those technical issues, a couple more news stories from the world of computers. Apparently, there's been this big, huge problem over at Google where their corporate culture is intensely liberal, and apparently there has been serious misconduct toward conservatives, which was made public. And it makes Google look bad. All that money spent on the internship to make Google look like it's the greatest place on earth to work, and it was just destroyed. But apparently a senior vice president at Google is promising to act against all employees who raise their voices against the company's pattern of misconduct toward its conservative personnel. Okay, we have Greg on the line right now. So joining us is Greg Felton. He's an author, and he's written a lot of books. I'm looking at his Amazon page here right now. Books like Enemies by Design, Inventing the War on Terror, Exploding Middle East Myths, and, of course, his new one, The Host and the Parasite. So, Greg, thank you for spending time with us today, and tell us about your new book.
Well, first of all, one slight correction, the Enemies by Design, that was published without my permission. I had written it with a publisher who behaved rather unethically, so I divorced myself from it. I restructured it and reissued it as The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. It's now out in third edition, and it can be found at thehostandtheparasite.com. It has its own website. Okay. And it incorporates the development or the decline of the United States into neo-fascism through the Obama and Trump years. So this brings you right up to Donald Trump, and it explains how he came to power. So everything here is predictable, and one of the interesting things about current American political language, to the extent that it even exists, is that many people look at Donald Trump as the beginning of the end of America, that he's this horrible, bombastic, racist, misogynist, blah, blah, corrupt, cronyistic politician that is sort of the start of something, but it isn't. Donald Trump is the end result of a long series of degenerative presidents that begins more or less with Ronald Reagan. And in fact, Donald Trump's presidency could have been predicted up to a point, because when he won the leadership of the party in 2016, the Republican Party had ceased to exist in any intellectual sense. It had essentially committed intellectual suicide. Any genuine conservatives had been pushed out and been replaced by neocons.
Yes.
And Donald Trump represents the recognition that the party had become brain dead. As I say in my book, he just had to step over the corpses. There was no one left to challenge him. He beat more than a dozen professional politicians for the leadership. And that tells you how bankrupt, intellectually bankrupt, the Republican Party had become. So the book tells you a little bit about how that happened and how and why Hillary Clinton lost the Democratic nomination as well.
You mean in Obama's second term?
Well, the thing is, after Obama's second term, Hillary Clinton was the anointed successor. And
yes,
what she was Israel's candidate. She was essentially a treasonous implant in the Democratic Party. But the fact that she lost the election is truly astounding, because essentially it was fixed for her to win. The press savaged Donald Trump. They ignored Bernie Sanders. They skewed their reporting to favor Clinton. They suppressed anti-Clinton news.
Yes.
They tried to make her look human when she's little more than a female cyborg that serves business interests like Goldman Sachs and the other banksters, whom she admitted she represented when she was senator. So you look at how this happened and how Clinton could not win the election. And this is, again, for the Democratic Party, a symptom of the Zionization of America and how the United States has become little more than an Israeli-occupied satrapy. And this is what this is the one thing I want people to realize from my book is that the United States does not exist as an independent country. It hasn't existed as an independent country, at least since Ronald Reagan. And the host and the parasite tells you how this happened and how it was done with open eyes.
Yeah, it's, I mean, most of us who are listening to this show, we've watched this happen, certainly paying attention with Obama, and we're well aware that Israel is just basically openly contemptuous of the American people. They mm-hmm. hate the Bill of Rights, and what's really alarming is how many members of our government are willing to go along with ridiculous laws that are clearly unconstitutional. Now, some judges are starting to push back. This idea that in order to get a job that you have to pledge you will never boycott or criticize Israel, that absolutely is a violation of our First Amendment rights, and the courts are starting to say that. But again, you have to wonder, how does Israel get this kind of control over our government? Now, obviously, there's going to be just outright financial support. We know that AIPAC carries a huge amount of clout. And they have large amounts of money that they can spend. And some of that money basically circulates around a bit, but it originates with the money that Congress votes to give Israel. So it's almost like a kickback scheme. The more Congress votes to give Israel things, the more AIPAC will reward those members of Congress. And it's just endless, endless corruption. Then you have to add in the possibility of blackmail. We know that Israeli companies have penetrated strategically important systems in our country. If we go on back to Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky, apparently Israel somehow was getting recordings of Bill and Monica's phone sex sessions, and they used to use those to blackmail Bill into ordering the FBI to stop the search for Israel's top spy inside the administration, codenamed MEGA. I mean, it's just amazing how much control Israel has and how readily our politicians are just okay with going along with that, even those who are not of Jewish descent or dual citizens.
It is truly astounding, and I think there's an excellent book to be written on how a minority population in the United States, the Jewish population, not all Jew, but most, I would say back in 48, a minority of Jews managed to co-opt the government. And there's a lot of different influences, but again, you're quite right. Money is the main one. If you take money out of politics, the Zionist lobby loses its lever, its main lever. And it can't coerce, it can't bribe, it can't blackmail politicians into behavior. Matter of fact, if I remember my history, in 1973, after the Yom Kippur War, in which Israel was facing serious military defeat, Israel's government threatened to use nuclear weapons unless America resupplied Israel with jet fighters. So blackmail is one of the great instruments of Israeli terrorism. For example, every congressman or senator has to sign a pledge to support Israel. Otherwise, their districts will get no funding. And this has to, again, this is grossly unconstitutional. People go along with it because they know that Israel is so ruthless. It can, at some degree, it will have you killed. It will have you marginalized. Yes. It will not support you. The press, which is bought and paid for by pro-Israel lobbyists, pro-Israel supporters, will smear you. Bernie Sanders was vilified to the extent that he was written about in the press. He was some sort of socialist. He wasn't. Well, he's an American firster, which makes him a socialist. And I guess it's easy to go along with the Zionists rather than to buck them, because you're up against an institution, you're up against a permanent government of Zionists. And this goes back to 1948 when Harry Truman took his famous $2 million bribe to support the creation, and I use that word in quotes, State of Israel. because the Congress at the time, the Senate, was thoroughly pro-Zionist. The American public was pro-Zionist out of some ridiculous sympathy for the Jews of World War II. I mean, you have to go back to the Holocaust propaganda that gave the Israelis its moral billy club with which to bludgeon people over the head to support Israel. Mm-hmm. There's religious reasons why. I mean, the rabid Christians look upon Jews as some sort of religious kin, and the Muslims are the enemy because they came after Jesus and they don't think Jesus is the Son of God. A lot of it is irrational. A lot of it is self-serving. And because Jews have a lot of influence in banking and other lobby groups, and they're very persuasive, and they pander to people's insecurities, they have managed to build themselves an almost a solid network of influence. It's like if Al Capone had been as strong as the Israeli lobby, we would be living under gangsterism.
I think we already are. But not because of Al Capone.
Are you there?
Yes, you're still on the air.
So it's a great story to see how a small group of people can take over a country. It really is.
It is. I think if you look at Israel's strident demands of the United States, they seem to take a real jump right around 9/11. And we know there are indications that Israel and the U.S. Intelligence agencies worked together to create 9/11. There were those dancing Israelis who were arrested. They were cheering as the towers came down. Turned out mm-hmm. three of those were Mossad. And I think partnering with Israel on something like this was probably one of the biggest mistakes our government ever made, because Israel just turned right around and they blackmailed the U.S. government with the 9/11. Give us what we want here, or we'll tell the world what really happened on 9/11, and it'll be worse for the U.S. than for Israel, because, hey, Israel expects everybody expects Israel to do this kind of thing. But for the U.S. government, it will be very, very damaging. And it seems like ever since 9/11, there isn't anything that Israel has asked for they have not gotten, including this recent declaration by Donald Trump that we recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
Well, I would
and
say
look at
that,
all the trouble that caused.
Well, yeah, that was essentially the most absurd thing that Trump could have done, because it has no upside for the United States, zero upside. And it confirms what you said, that Israel has a deep and abiding contempt for American interests and American integrity. But I would make one qualification about September the 11th. The government that was in place at the time of September the 11th, I do not consider to be an American government. In my book, The Host and the Parasite, I talk about it, I refer to it as the Bush Junta, because the Project for the New American Century, which is the foundation of that government, was openly treasonous. It had no interest in supporting American interests. It was thoroughgoing pro-Israel. And
yes.
If you look, yeah, so you look at the people who did that, it could not have been done without the collusion of the government. And there was no rational reason to allow the World Trade Centers to be demolished like that and the Pentagon to be attacked, unless you were serving the one government that could have benefited from it, and that was the Israeli government. It did not benefit the U.S. at all. The U.S. has no need to go in and bomb Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Syria, anything like this. This is all part of the Zionist plan, the Yanon plan, which goes back to the early 80s. And Oded Yanon, who was a journalist, described the long-term objectives of Israel, which was to bring down certain governments. And America has been the instrument of Israeli terrorism ever since. So I think it's important to recognize that George Bush, or I call it the Cheney government, really, because Bush really didn't have the brains to run the government. This was Cheney's doing. Cheney was the criminal. Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, and a host of other smaller people were responsible for allowing the World Trade Centers to be attacked. And this is what they needed to justify the suspension of the Constitution and the passage of the USA Patriot Act. And we know this to be certain because the USA Patriot Act was written 3 weeks before the 9/11 events occurred. It was written by Philip Zelikoff, who was the propagandist for the Bush junta, in the first draft. So you've got to wonder, how could you write a document about an event that hadn't happened yet? So it clearly demonstrates that the World Trade Center was a planned false flag attack. And anybody who buys into the official story either doesn't want to know or is in the business of propounding the official fiction.
I agree. Bush, I absolutely agree. Yeah. And it does seem – I mean, I remember when the Project for the New American Century was setting up shop, and it was all neocons and very clearly pro-Israel. In fact, some of the documents that were at their website were directed at the Israeli government. And it was very obvious that they were the force behind the Bush administration's war agenda and just getting us into all this trouble all over the globe. But at this point, we're kind of worn out. We're sucked dry. And there's a real chance that we could collapse. And Israel, I'm sure, is already picking out their next target to be their host. They may go across the border into Canada or some other country. And I'm sure to some extent or another, they're playing these same games in other countries. We know throughout history they were doing the same thing in any countries where they lived. They would intentionally go into those areas of commerce where they would exert control over the rest of society until finally some countries literally would pass laws saying that Jews were not allowed to get into this and that activity because of the abuses that followed. And again, it's a very predatory culture. It's unfortunately part of their religion. And they see themselves as automatically superior, automatically entitled. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is inferior and worse, they're fair game. My first wife was Jewish, and she was out there explaining that the Ten Commandments only apply to other Jews, and everybody else is fair game. And when she first told me that, I honestly thought she was, you know, playing a joke on me. But it turned out that that really was what she believed.
Okay. Yeah, it is rather appalling to think that Jews can think of themselves, but that they do think themselves entitled, that they're above the law, that, you know, that everybody has to serve the Jewish people, that they're chosen. It's a, I call it a sort of a psychopathology of Judaism. The religion does essentially teach people to be inhuman, to be criminal, and I think it could be recognized as a form of mental illness if you think that you're chosen by God and you have the right to murder, torture, steal, and otherwise abuse other human beings. It's rather sad. But the problem is, there's one thing about Judaism that I think is attractive to a lot of people. And I think this goes into the psychopathology of bullying in general. If you can think of yourself as better than anybody else, if you can find a belief system that can elevate you above the masses, above the herd, you might want to gravitate toward it because it makes you feel better about yourself. You see yourself as above everybody else. And I think there is a real attractiveness to that. Can you just hold on 1 second, please?
Yeah, I certainly can hear. And if Tony in Puerto Rico is still on the phone line, let's go ahead and take that phone call while Greg steps away. Tony, are you there? You just dropped him. Okay, well, that was my bad. Okay, well, while Greg steps away for doing what he's going to do, Facebook.
Here. Okay.
Oh, you're here. Okay.
Yeah.
We're actually coming up now on a commercial break. It'll be a 3-minute break. And when we come on back, I'd like you to sort of pick up where you left off and maybe shift the focus back more to the political than the religious. So we're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with Greg Felton after these few words.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking with Greg Felton about his book, The Host and the Parasite. Apparently, we got a call from Frank in North Carolina saying, thank you so much for telling the unvarnished truth. And before we get back to Greg, Fox News is running a story about this law that is being passed in Poland. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines again, but only on the topic of Greg's book here. But right now, Fox News is running this story about this law that has been passed in Poland that basically says if you're going to talk about the history of World War II, use the word Nazi. Don't use the word Polish, because apparently Poland was very upset that people were going to some of these slave labor camps and saying this was a Polish slave labor camp. No, they were built and operated by the Nazis. And Israel, of course, is just absolutely hopping mad, saying, no, the Poles did terrible things to us as well. It wasn't just the Nazis. Everybody was in cahoots to get us back then. And so they're literally demanding that they're trying to guilt Poland. To get something out of them. And this has really gone on way too long, because the vast majority of people alive today were born after all of that was over. And I refuse to feel guilty about anything that is outside of my control, certainly anything that happened before I was born. And yet Israel keeps trying to milk this over and over and over again. And apparently they're so manic about it the fact that Poland wants to identify the Nazis as committing the alleged crimes on Polish soil, and then Israel comes back and say, no, 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 you bear the guilt, you bear the guilt. I think it's very revealing to, you know, as to what the mindset is.
Oh, you're quite right. It is. It's amazing. I mean, if anybody knows anything about what happened in World War II, it's the Polish government. And since the Polish government now superintends the Auschwitz-Birkenau concentration camp facility, they know, I would submit, considerably more about what happened than the Jews of Israel do. As a matter of fact, the Polish government reduced the amount of estimated dead at Auschwitz-Birkenau from 4 million to 1.5 million. And they did so through proper editing and analysis of records of people who passed through there. So that means officially we need to take 2.5 million off of the official dead count, which would bring it down to 3.5 million, not the apocryphal 6 million. And this is one of the things I think that gets up the nose of the Israelis. I mean, if we allow Poland to have any say in this, then we lose control over the narrative. And Israel has to blame everybody for the suffering of the Jews, because as we all know, Jews are the only people who ever suffer. And, you know, this, we see this also in the book by Daniel Stern Goldhagen, who wrote a book called Hitler's Willing Executioners, in which he blamed the entire Jewish people, entire German people, for what Hitler did. And that's a sort of collective guilting that is evidenced today in what Netanyahu is doing regarding Poland. I support the Poles. The Poles are right. And the fact that Israel is behaving so irrationally, it tells me that they have no sensible grounds for opposing this, and it's just emotionalism. Eventually, I think
I would agree.
Yeah,
yeah. I would agree on that. But you need to remember that 6 million is again of religious origin. That there is this prophecy that after the Jews have lost 6 million, the Messiah will come, the third temple will be built, and all will be well. They were using that same number in World War I propaganda. The 6 million Jews of Europe are suffering and starving. Please send money. And what's really interesting, of course, is going back to Germany in World War II, it's hard to see where the 6 million came from because there were only a few hundred thousand Jews in Germany at the start of World War II. And census records don't show a major population decline at the end of World War II.
As a matter of fact, first of all, the 6 million figure dates at least to the year 1900. That's the first mention I have of it. It gets mentioned in the New York Times, the Pittsburgh Criterion, a host of other newspapers. The 6 million Jews come from either Romania, Ukraine, Russia, Belarus. I mean, the 6 million is thrown out so much that you have about 10 to 20 times the number of Jews that actually existed, all dying or being killed. It's ridiculous. It's utterly apocryphal. It has no basis, in fact. And the United
No, it doesn't.
No.
And the other thing to keep in mind, I'm sorry to cut you off here. The other thing to keep in mind, of course, is that these were slave labor camps, and it wasn't just Jews in there. There were Poles, there were gypsies, the mentally retarded, gays were in there. And so the Jewish population in these slave labor camps was a minority population. And yet the entire portrayal of the slave labor camps is that they were specifically targeted on the Jews, and that is not historically supportable.
No, and I don't know if the Jews were the minority or the majority, but I can say for certain that the figure 6 million was never attested to by anything. Even Adolf Eichmann, who when interviewed by Hannah Arendt would admit to only 2 million, and he would know, I would think. He had no reason
to
lie.
Okay, well, Greg, we have to take another break for commercials. This will be a 4-minute break, and when we come on back, we've got a caller waiting on the line. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with Greg Felton.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're getting callers at RBN. I'm getting emails here from people who are just, well, some are very supportive. Thank you for talking about the reality. Others are saying, oh, you're a Jew hater, blah, 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 blah. There's one thing for everybody listening to the show to keep in mind. Think about how we have been lied to by our government for all this time. They lied about Saddam's nuclear weapons. They lied about Assad's sarin gas. They lied about the Boston Marathon bombing, Sandy Hook, all of that stuff. Do you really think being lied to on a massive, continuous basis began recently? No. It's as old as civilization itself. All rulers tell gigantic lies to their population to gain control over them. Ramses told the people of Egypt he'd beat the Hittites, knowing that the people of Egypt couldn't find out that he'd actually almost lost his army. I mean, that's it. Governments lie to their people, and the government of Israel is no different than anybody else. All right, we're going to take a couple of phone calls here. Chuck in Texas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, Michael, thank you very much for having this gentleman on. I was just jumped on my computer to order his book. I've got a question. Well, we understand that Hillary would have been worse. Let's get that straight first off and foremost. yes, Hillary would have been worse. However, in watching what this president is doing, the opinion of the host would matter to me. Is this guy possibly the last real American president or an American president that we're going to have, seeing the move that he made, kneeling to Israel and igniting the Middle East against our troops that are already there? Have we totally lost control of our government?
Well, the answer is yes, I'm afraid so. I think what I find interesting about Donald Trump is that when he was a candidate, he spoke against American adventurism in the Middle East, wasteful wars that cost trillions of dollars, umpteen hundreds of thousands of lives. And he sounded like somebody who was going to put a check on the Zionist agenda that basically drives the Republic, the Democratic Party. But recently, as you have seen, Trump has turned into sort of an anti-Trump. He has been co-opted by the very establishment he ran against. And since Donald Trump doesn't have any real qualifications for being president, he's essentially a bombastic man-child. That's the way I see it. He really doesn't have the background to stand up to them. He's easily persuaded and manipulated, and I think he is essentially he has lost control of his government. That's what I think has happened.
Well, I find myself in disagreement with a lot of a lot of friends that I've had for a very long time. Whenever I say it's time to dump Trump to get back the resistance, because as long as Trump is there, we have these people who are just enamored with him no matter what we say, and they're just like Obamites. And I say, let them take him out of office to get our resistance back. Our resistance in the United States has absolutely evaporated, resistance being against our government in general and tyranny, but they put the face of Obama on it. But whenever Trump came in, all of a sudden it just evaporated. And that's my concern.
Well, I would agree that Trump has to go, but the danger, though, is, and Ray McGovern, who's a former CIA agent, he made the correct point, is that if you get rid of Trump, you get Mike Pence. And Mike Pence is immeasurably worse. And I say that because Trump is obviously bombastic and incompetent. Mike Pence is very slick, professional, and he would give the illusion of competence. But he is religiously psychopathic. He is a devout Christian, and he has no trouble waging war for Israel. I think Trump is more reluctant to do it, but I don't think he has the backbone to stand up to the deep state, which is essentially run by Democrats. I think getting rid of Trump now is the right idea. Yeah.
Well, if we don't, then the next president, and there's no way that Trump is going to win a second term.
I agree.
It's going to be Pence anyway. And during this time, we're watching the NSA. Everything that we really used to watch under Obama is still continuing under Trump in spades, and everyone's like, oh, it's okay because Trump has the trigger finger. So to me, when do we finally say we've had enough? And I'm with Mike. I don't want a violent revolution, but I've given up on every other avenue we have to avoid it.
Well, you're quite right.
I'm going to go ahead and sign off because I know there's other callers. Mike, thanks for letting me come on the show, and thank you so much for having this gentleman on.
All right. Well, you're welcome on both counts, and we'll have Greg Felton back again because I'm getting a lot of positive response in the email to him. We're going to now move to James in Ohio. Aloha, James. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I was wondering if he was aware of the fact that the instructions for Zyklon B indicate that it takes from 1 to 3 days to release the small amount of hydrogen cyanide that is absorbed into it, and also that there have been a couple of people who have done videos where they've sat in a nearly airtight phone booth-sized enclosure with a can of Zyklon B poured out on the floor for over an hour, and I would happily do do so myself, and I know a lot about toxicology, but the story told to the visitors of the U.S. Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., is that the Germans poured a can of Zyklon B through a hole, an open hole in the ceiling of the so-called gas chamber, and in 15 minutes, the screaming was over. Also, cyanide poisoning often produces convulsions to the point where the spine and the long bones break, and there is time for swelling, huge swelling, to occur before death. But these symptoms are noticeably absent in pictures of so-called Holocaust.
Well, first of all, Zyklon B is actually an insecticide. It's used for killing lice. And the reason it was there at the slave labor camps toward the end of the war was when the Germans were basically pushed back out of Russia, they brought with them typhus, or possibly the Russians had deliberately infected them with typhus as a biological weapon. And so they were basically using the Zyklon B to kill the body lice that was carrying the disease from person to person. And that included not just the inmates in the camps, it included the staff and the guards, their clothing, everything was being soaked in this to try and prevent the typhus from spreading any further. So that's one misconception that's out there. It's not that powerful on humans, and you're right, one can wouldn't do it. It was a fumigant, and it did take a long time to release the chemical. The other aspect of it is that a lot of these rooms that are claimed to have been execution chambers using Zyklon B, the wall should be colored blue because that's cyanide is a stain. That's where the pigment cyan comes from.
Ferrocyanide. Yeah. The staining, mixing with iron, produces ferrocyanide, which has a really blue color. It's called Prussian blue. But that's all I had for you. Thank you very much for having your guest on. I appreciate it very much, and I'll let you go now. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much here, and we're going to take another phone call. This is from Francis in North Carolina.
Michael, one second.
What?
One thing. Also, your guest is perfectly correct. Your caller was very well informed. But what's also interesting is that these so-called gas chambers, which of course never existed, those holes which through which the Zyklon B was allegedly dropped, they were added after the war by the Soviet Union for propaganda purposes. There were no holes through which that gas could have been dropped. And one of Hollywood's greatest disgraces is the film Denial, which manufactures false history to implicate David Irving in the libel. Mm-hmm. He charged Deborah Lipstadt with five counts of libel. Lipstadt, and he won four of the five cases against her. Only one he didn't win, and that was elaborated and blown out of all proportion. And that's what the basis of the movie is. And in the movie, they falsify history by putting those holes on the top of those barracks, but they were never there during World War II. That was after the fact. So history has been falsified.
The Russians also added that large crematorium that tourists are shown that the Nazis used to dispose of the bodies that didn't exist back then. That was added by the Soviets after the war was over to dispose of the typhus-infected bodies. And by the way, if you look at those photos of all the emaciated prisoners, any doctor will tell you they're showing the symptoms of typhus. That's why they were thin and emaciated, because typhus, you get intense diarrhea, you can't take in nutrients, and that's what was going on. It was a major typhus epidemic across Germany. Anyway, let's go on and take another phone call. We're finally going to get to Francis in North Carolina. Aloha, Francis. What's on your mind today?
Hello, aloha to you, both you fellas. Have a question for you as far as perception or perspective is concerned, and for a lot of people it may be viewed as a lame question. For others, it's not. 6 million, okay, you have a figure of 6 million people. Okay, what state in the U.S. would be about the size required to fit 6 million people into? as far as perception goes.
I don't quite understand. You had to fit 6 million people into a state? The figure
the
is false to be. You know, the figure is false to begin with, though. I don't know why you'd want to do that.
I'll give you that is, but just for the sake of statistical size.
I think where Frances is going is that she's saying that there none of these camps were large enough to even hold 6 million people.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. Well, we don't know if they came, whether they came in at one time or whether they were just filtered throughout and some died and they kept bringing new ones in. The whole point is, and Francis makes a very good point, by the way, by bringing this up, you could not physically kill 6 million people in these chambers. It could not be done because there wasn't the technology to kill that, to incinerate that many people. And when you figure that the number of Jews that were carted off to the concentration camps was not constant throughout World War II, that it was accelerated after about sometime in 1944 when the Germans realized they were losing the war, that's when the train started moving faster and faster to Auschwitz and Theresienstadt and other places. So you'd have
because they were factories. They were right. Prison factories that were manufacturing materials for the German army. That's where that stuff all came from, and that's another reason why the Nazis they actually looked after the health of the inmates very much. There were doctors on staff. There were health clubs. They had swimming pools they could exercise in because they were valuable commodities supporting the German war effort. And that again, slavery is wrong. But these were basically, these camps were prison factories, just like the prison factories we have in the United States today.
Indeed.
Exactly.
I think basically what I was trying to express was, misexpressed as far as proportion to what size of a state is concerned and what one would fit 6 million people into. Not that that was the scenario, but I think that how I conveyed it was not exactly well done to get the point across of how big of an area that would have been, since a lot of the people, as you stated, were coming in from different directions or whatever have you, as a culmination is what I was getting at. But aside from that, the fact that they're giving such a hissy fit over this, I've yet to learn of one ethnic background that did not experience some sort of a, if you want to call it a Holocaust, or an ethnic cleansing, or degradation for that matter, throughout the aspect of human history, what ethnic background has never experienced that? And I've yet to know of one as of yet.
Well, you have,
have a great one.
Yeah, the Armenians, the Ukrainians, for example, they were all slaughtered by, respectively, the Turks and the Russians. There was the extermination of, for many in the United States, of many native peoples. In Europe, the millions of non-Christians were slaughtered because they wouldn't buy into the Jesus cult. You're right. History is full of misery. As Hegel said in one of his more sober moments, history is a slaughter bench. And the Jews are not the only people to have suffered. Clearly, but they want the world to think that's true so they can justify the creation of Israel as some allegedly alleged national home for Jews, which, of course, it was never created legally, and Israel even lied its way into the United Nations.
Well, the other part to keep in mind here is that, again, Israel uses that image of perpetual victim again, to extort money or guilt other countries out of more money. But the Jews, again, they have not really suffered out of proportion compared to other groups around the world or throughout history. It's just an image they sell that they're somehow being gratuitously picked on and that therefore the rest of the world owes them some kind of compensation. And as I said earlier in the show, I refuse to accept responsibility for things that are outside of my control. And certainly those things that happened before I was born. We've got time for one more phone call. Jeff in Georgia, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, good to talk to you. Good to talk to listen to this person. I just want to point out the Jewish control has been in our government long before Reagan. It was manipulating Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Roosevelt. It helped overthrow, the coup d'etat of Kennedy. Had Jewish the cartel behind all that. They practically ran with a hidden hand the Johnson administration, the soft coup of Nixon. You're never going to win the argument on the Holocaust or talk about the good things Nazis did. We're not going to win that. I would like to know what Gregory thinks we have to do to overthrow this, is so that, for the benefit of all people in this country.
Okay, well, Jeff, we have to take a break for commercials. We're going to let you go, and when we come back for the last segment of our program, Greg can answer that question. So we'll be back after these few words.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over two with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354, or visit MIG911.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Final segment of our program today. We're not taking any more phone calls. And Greg, Jeff asked a good question. What do we do? We all know what's going on. We are living under a Vichy government, puppet rulers. And just like the United States is doing that to places like Iraq and Afghanistan, the people there don't like it. Why should we be any more accepting of it? And what do we do?
Well, tactically, one thing you could do is be careful of your terminology. Now, in as much as I can agree with Jeff that the Jews have had an inordinate influence on the United States, it is tactically wise not to blame Jews collectively or generically, because that invites the calumny, the empty slander of anti-Semitism, which is, of course, a nonsense term that was invented by a German in 1873. I would recommend you use the word Zionist or Israel firster. Make sure you focus on Israel, not Jews, because there are many Jews that are not Zionist. And a lot of the great people would be like Neve Gordon, Tanya Reinhart, Norman Finkelstein, Alain Pape, Tony Yute, Amara Haas. There are lots of great Jews that do not buy into the cult of the Zionist, to buy into the Zionist atrocities that Israel commits. So a lot of Jews, oddly enough, are some of the best allies you could have. And Netanyahu
has quite a few here on his website.
Yes, that's true. As a matter of fact, Netanyahu has no use for American Jews, because he doesn't need them, because they're already Jewish, and he's not going to listen to their complaints, because they're very important complaints, and he can't deal with them, because how do you criticize a Jew who criticizes Israel? Which is why Israelis need the Zionists, the Christian Zionists, the psychopaths, who have no compunction about committing mass murder in the name of a religious fiction. So be careful not to overstate your enemy. Use language wisely and with discretion. The second thing to do is write. Talk to people. Use the court system. In Kansas recently, a judge ruled against the draconian anti-BDS legislation. That is something that use the court system as much as possible. The law can be used effectively, because if you simply retreat into your shell or simply scream at the wind, you're not going to accomplish anything. And this is why a lot of peace groups are really more destructive than anything else. Peace groups and people who complain a lot merely make a lot of noise, but they don't achieve anything. You need to learn how to channel your energies into effective resistance movements. And it might be useful to go into history and to see how other peoples behaved during the Inquisition, where people criticized the Catholic Church. How did they survive? How did they not end up being tortured to death? How did Russians under Soviet rule manage to survive and not get sent to the gulags? How did the partisans of France survive during World War II? I mean, there are ways to look through history to see how you can behave like a guerrilla. Guerrilla movements. Anyway, before I go, my book is The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. And you can buy it at thehostandtheparasite.com. And you can see how Donald Trump fits into the Zionization of America, which, as Jeff rightly pointed out, predates Ronald Reagan. I source it to Harry Truman. He's the first.
Okay. We're at the end of the show. I'm sorry to cut you off. We're at the end of the show.
No problem.
And there is an ad for the book on the front page of whatreallyhappened.com. So thank you, Greg. And we're going to turn the microphone over to John Stadmiller. We'll be back tomorrow with the Lady Claire. Aloha, America.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
This is RBN.
The Republic Broadcasting Network.